Today we're going to take a little break from our regular series going through the parables of Jesus, and we're going to go back to the very beginning of the Bible. I really debated whether to read this entire chapter or not, but I think it's important for God's word to really speak and sink into our hearts. So today, instead of all of us just reading in one voice, I'll just go ahead and actually, let me save my voice. And can I ask Douglas to come and as I'm aging, I need to save my voice whenever I can. So let's do this. Let's just close our eyes.
I'm not that much younger than you.
But you're not preaching until
6:00. But I'm preaching at 4, so I gotta save my voice too.
So okay. Let's go ahead and if we can just close our eyes. I mean, this is such a familiar chapter to us, but let the Spirit of God really speak what God wants to reveal through these words. So let's listen carefully.
Genesis 1 to chapter 2, 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear." And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, He created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done.
Amen. Thank you, Douglas. Isn't it so good to allow God's word to just sink in, just to soak into our spirit? So I want you to really make a habit of doing this. Now, this is a familiar passage. And again, I think we can spend the whole series on probably these two chapters. And I, you know that I've taught on many occasions from this chapter. But what is really important for us to understand, oftentimes we look at this chapter as if this is some kind of scientific explanation of how the whole creation came about. If God really meant to do that, he would not have done it in just one single chapter or at least two chapters. In fact, you probably felt it as you were listening to some of these words. This was really meant to be written as almost like a poetry. J.I. Packer, who was probably the most well-known theologians of our time, he actually said that these two chapters are the hymn of praise that God has given to us. So one of the things that I want to really expound upon today, I'm not going to go into the details and go verse by verse, but I want to really boil this chapter down to two most critical ideas that God wants to teach us. If I can just extract two ideas, two most essential ideas from these, at least this chapter, the first thing that we're being reminded as we read this chapter is that there is a design to everything. There's this intelligent design that God implemented in this whole creation process. I want you to think about your life, your day-to-day, your relationship and what you do and all the things, the reality that surrounds us. Sometimes we feel like this is just happening. Life just happens, but that is actually not how it works. This entire universe and all the things that have been created, it didn't just happen. It wasn't just a random cosmic or chemical reaction or accident. This is why in Romans chapter 1, Paul actually makes this argument that we have no excuse because God's invisible attributes and eternal power, his divine nature, have been clearly revealed to us, to humanity, ever since the creation of the world. And in the things that have been made, so people like you and me and the rest of the world, we are without excuse. I was teaching my daughter. They were learning in their science class about the whole cell biology. I was trying to help them to remember all the different parts of the human cell. I don't know if you have studied, some of you are laughing. You know, even though it's been a long time for me, again, as I was trying to help my daughters understand how our human body and all the cells work, I realized that there's not a single part of even a human cell is wasted. Every single part has a purpose. Mitochondria. What else is there in the cell? Human cell. Cell wall, membrane, cytoplasm. What else? Nucleus. Every single part, even to the most microscopic part of our human body, has a purpose and has a design to it. What this chapter is telling us, teaching us, is that you're not an accident. You didn't just come into this world because something happened or your parents decided to make love. Even though all those are part of the creation process, that everything that has been created has a design, God's design, imprinted. So that's an important truth that we need to hold on to. But there's a second part that I want to remind you. And this is really what the Lord has been really breathing into my spirit. That one part in the middle of all that, the last part of the creation, God says that let's create man in our image. It's this fact that there's not only an intelligent design to this whole reality, human reality and this entire universe, but you and I, of all creation, we've been actually created in the image of God. Another translation will say that you and I actually have the likeness of God. You ever think of yourself when you look into the mirror or when you look at another person? You ever even think that you actually have the likeness of this creator God? His divine attributes, his power, his creativity. It is actually embedded in all of us. What God actually wants to communicate through this chapter is that this same ability that God had to create, to design, this intelligence that God had, he actually has shared that with us. I want you to think about the things that we can create with our own hands, with our own imaginations. Think about the musical instruments, some of these instruments. I mean, where does this idea or ability actually come from? There are no animals, no creatures that can create with their hands and with their minds something like musical instruments or drums, guitar, strings out of metal and wood. This is part of our image of God that resides in all of us. So to summarize this chapter, I'm just going to make it very simple. It boils down to these two ideas. The entire universe has been created according to God's intelligent design. And the second part that God wants to communicate with us is that this ability, this intelligence to design has been endowed upon you and me, the humanity. It's a very important idea. Why is this so important? What God is really reminding us today, he's actually challenging us as we enter into this new decade. I've been thinking a lot about this in the last few days. I want you to think about the life that we live. This life that you and I have, 60, 70, 80 years that we have here on earth, is not something that just happens. We're supposed to live each day. If this is really true, we are actually supposed to live each day with a careful, and I'm going to use what Mark used at the end of this year. He preached a sermon on Christian mindfulness. I want to use that word mindful. We are actually supposed to live each day with this mindful and thoughtful and intentional design driven by our faith in God's promise and the vision of the future that God has for us. I want to challenge you today that if this is really the way you're living your life, but this is not really the reality for most people. When we think of our human life, our 67 years, our day to day, week to week, we wake up in the morning, drink our coffee, we eat breakfast, and we get into the car, we go to work, we come home, and we go to sleep. The next day comes, we wake up again. We go through this life of, what do you call it? Hamster wheel? Just going around and round and round. For many people, life is just simply a survival. We just want to get through each day. I want to just get through this season of my life. I don't know how many people actually come to me and share about their outlook. I just want to get through this season of life. And let me tell you, this is not really God's intention. This is not the way God wants us to live our lives. We're supposed to live every day by design. Just the way God designed every single thing, even a day, the duration of our time and each season was marked and designed according to God's wisdom. He wants, he has given us that ability to live in such a way. So there's two questions that I want to ask you today. It might be a little bit disturbing for you. I want to ask you, I want to disturb you, if I may. or maybe challenged with, I want to ask you these questions. When you think of your life today, am I really living my life according to God's purpose and design? I want you to just hold on to that question. Think about it. The second question I want to ask is, am I really living my life to the fullest potential that God has endowed me with? Are you really maximizing the fullest potential, the unique things that God has really endowed upon you? These two questions that I want to ask you, it's really a question of alignment and it's a question of stewardship. It's not a question of vocation. I'm not asking you to think about what you do every day. Your job may change. Your employer may change. Even your community may change at times. What I'm really asking you today is my life really in alignment with what God had in mind for me, for the days that are given to me? And the second question is, am I really stewarding that well? Am I really living to the fullest potential of all the giftings and passions that God has really planted in me, in my life? And only you can answer those questions. I'm not here to help you figure that out. You have to wrestle with some of these questions because I'm wrestling even for myself and my own life. But I want you to really think about these two questions. You know, last 2 weeks or 10 days of 2019, I had a chance to drive to Texas. Some of you don't know. We decided to take a road trip to visit Sandy's family and have our regular family reunion. It was a total of about 2,400-mile drive. So I love road trip. I love driving because that's when I get a lot of inspirations and I get to process. But after this trip, I told Sandy and the kids that we'll never do this again. We try to squeeze in everything into like a two-day drive. So we drove like 10, 11, 12 hours. And it was a lot of driving, a lot of desert, a lot of cactus that we saw. When I first saw all these, what do you call it, cacti or cactus? Cacti. There are just so many cacti in Arizona and New Mexico and all the way into Texas. That's all we saw, just desert and mountains and cacti after cacti. And I had a chance to really deeply reflect about the past decade of my life. And actually, Sandy and I were driving and we were actually going through our old pictures. And I have folders in my computer year by year, just kind of is this my, I guess, planning and all the documents that kind of is a historical document of my life. So I actually had a chance to go back and look at some of those folders and just recount what happened in my life. So it was really a good exercise. And one thing that I want to encourage you today is that even as you launch into this new year and new decade, if you have a chance, go back and really recount year by year, what God has done. And my goal was really to just identify one main thing that God did in our life, in my own personal life, as well as in the church as well. So I actually had a chance to journal some of these major events. And I'm just going to share briefly, just year by year, starting from 2010. I remember in 2010, remember we launched the Vision 2020? And we had this great vision of influencing our society and transforming our city with this vision. And a lot of that actually came out of it. And I realized that one thing that happened as a result of the vision in 2010 is that we decided to have one more baby. So Bethel actually came in 2010. It was a stretch of our faith. At the time, I remember, we already had three girls and I was pretty content. Sandy was pretty satisfied. And we had no reason to go for another baby. And it was actually Sam and Betty. They're not here today. They challenged us. They had four children. They said, this is what they said. You may regret not having another child down the road, but you will never, ever regret having another one. I don't know why, but those words really just pierced through our soul. And we decided to just go for one more. And then Bethel came into this world. And let me tell you, it was a stretch of our faith. Even it just required a lot for us to really lay aside so that we can have one more child. But I cannot imagine a world without our youngest daughter. It changed the way. I mean, it changed our family forever. So that's what happened in 2010. 2011, If you remember, this is right after Bethel came. Sandy, God gave her a vision to really, this, it was more of a mandate than a vision. God mandated on Sandy to really start a preschool. So Gateway Preschool Academy, which some of you now work at, was actually launched in 2011. I remember Sandy, to do that, she had to go back to school and she tried to finish everything within a year and a half. We had to do a lot of fundraising. Our role shifted and I became more of a mother in at home, taking care of the baby while she was taking the class. And I remember feeding, bottle feeding the baby. This is what happens when it just becomes an old memory. Staying up late at night while she was finishing her homework, and I just took on the role of just raising this youngest baby. And that's actually what happened in 2011. 2012, again, God gave us just this mandate to raise up the next generation of worshipers. And we decided to really set our own children apart for God. But that just went beyond raising our own children. So that's when actually a few of us who had that passion. I know Pansy is sitting here and Maria, you're part of that. Remember, we started our first Levite school. We built the entire tabernacle, like a life-size tabernacle in the sanctuary. And we walked people through and taught the kids about what it means to live in the presence of God. And over the years, we've done, I think, at least 5 or 6 Levite schools over the years. 2013, this was a hard year for me. This is one time in my journey that I felt like I was lost. And it was a season of deep struggle, even about my own identity, my own ministry. If there's one time in 18 years of my time here in San Jose, this is the year that I seriously consider leaving or moving on. So I share this with you because it's been long enough that you don't have to worry about me dropping everything and leaving. But this was a hard year for me. But in that time, in the dark moments of my season of my life, God actually began to plant some new dreams and new visions. And if you remember, 2014 is the year that I stepped into the lead role in this church. And it happened not in a human way. I was actually wanting to leave and the church was really thinking about the future. And yet, remember, Pastor Ed passed away and there was a void of leadership. So I had to really step into that role. 2015, again, some significant changes in the church as well as among the church leaders. This is when we as a church really thought about whether to build and expand or even get a bigger land or get a bigger building. But our elders unanimously decided that instead of building and expanding our current property, we decided to plant, send people out. So that actually happened in 2015, and this is when God gave us new vision of bringing people to wholeness and fruitfulness. We remember making a lot of adjustments, shifts. We used to have 3 or 5 services, remember? And we used to have 3 different worship hours, and we actually had to really change the way we worship and we gather. So we went from having 3 different hours down to 2 worship hours. You as a congregation really made a sacrifice of moving from the sanctuary to chapel. So, I mean, every Sunday, we cannot even fit everyone who comes during the first hour. I'm grateful for those people who are willing to sit outside and look at a TV screen. But we went from 3 hours to 2 hours, and even our youth had to give up their own youth worship service, and we made a big change and bring the generations together in our worship experience. So now we have our young people sitting here, listening to the same message, worshiping with their parents' generation. It's been beautiful, but that change came about in 2015. 2016, you know what happened? We launched New Vine. I remember when we launched in September. It was exciting. It was fun. It was great to go out with these 25 or so people to launch this. But once we hit that reality of pastoring or ministering at 2 different locations, the reality really caught up with us. Many of us, we were wondering, why in the world did we do this? Why do I have to go to another church at 4 o'clock. It was actually like 1 or 2 o'clock for many people who were there to set up and prepare. This went on for almost a year. We were just wondering, is this church going to grow? Are we going to survive? Now, New Vine has become a beautiful community. It's really life-giving to many of us who went out and planted this church. So that's what happened in 2016. 2017, this is more of a personal year for me. But one thing that I remember is that in 2017, I decided to go through some personal transformation. At the time, my health was not at the top shape. I was borderline diabetic. I had high blood pressure. I had high cholesterol. And I was experiencing a lot of stress. So if you remember, in 2017, I decided to change my diet, not only my diet, but my lifestyle. This is when I began to exercise for the first time in my life. It's better late than never. But I lost about 30 pounds. Some of you probably don't remember because I want you to remember me as I am today. But I go back and I look at some of those pictures from 2017. I'm really embarrassed. I mean, imagine 30 more pounds and I was not in a good shape. And God really challenged me to just change the way I live and eat and just take care of myself. So that was another major transformation for me. 2018, I went on this doctoral study. Again, I didn't have to do it, but God really challenged me to expand and invest into my own self and my own leadership. So at the time, so many things were happening and people thought that I was crazy to take on another program or degree. But it's been the most life-transforming experience for me. It's hard. Even to this day, I have some anxiety just thinking about all the writings that I have to do. I have one more year. But it has been really life-transforming experience for the last couple of years. 2019, as part of my project, some of you know that with many of us, 40 of us launched this LEAD Summit, LEAD Project. It's a new way of looking at evangelism, and I hope that this will continue to grow. And many of you did not really experience what was actually happening because it happened not in the church, but outside. So these are some of the snapshots of some of the things that God has done in my life and in our church. And this has been so good for me to just go back and year by year look at the handprints of God working in my life, giving me new desires and new vision and new dreams. Why am I sharing all these things? There are two thoughts that came out of this kind of exercise that I did. As I look back at the past 10 years, this decade, two thoughts that I walked away with. Number one, Sandy and I did not have to do any of these things. And our lives would have been fine. But where we are today, we would be in a radically different place if we did not take those leaps. We would have different friends, different relationships. Our ministries would look radically different. As much as I talk about a world without Bethel, I cannot imagine a world without our New Vine Community Church that was planted. Some of the people that came into the kingdom through our ministry. Some of the relationships that we share. Some of the things that was launched out of this place. But here's the thing. We did not have to take on those things. There was no need. And our lives would have been actually fine. The second thing that God reminded me is in order for us to dream and to launch some of these things, we actually had to make some significant and if not outrageous changes in our priorities, in our habits, in our schedule, in our commitments. And yet, looking back at this past decade, I can say with confidence that I have no regrets for taking on some of these things. I know that some people think that we're just doing too many things and you know, our lives are just crazy. But I realize that these are actually not our own human handiwork. It's something that God had designed and God had planted into us long before we knew. And we just had to simply say yes to some of those things and just take a step of faith each time. Sandy and the girls, they do this every year. And I want to really encourage you as a kind of a follow-up or action or response. I want you to maybe do the same thing individually, personally, as well as if you're married, do it as a couple. If you have a family, you can do this with your kids or as a family. But Sandy actually takes the girls on a special whole day kind of a retreat thing where they go to a nice cafe and they can order anything that they want to order on the menu. And then they would spend the whole day looking back, reflecting on their year, some of the things that happened. And then they actually plan for the next year. This has been kind of an annual thing that Sandy does with the girls as a mother. And we can actually do similar things for ourselves. This is really the practical way to live your life by thoughtful and prayerful design. Life happens because we don't plan. Life happens because we don't intentionally design the way we are going to spend our time, or spend our money, where we're going to invest. Life just happens because we just live each day as it happens. This is not the way that you and I are supposed to live as children of God. Where is God taking you in this next season? Where's your promised land? What is the vision that God has given to you for the next season of your life? What will you say 10 years from now in 2030? Will you have anything to talk about? The greatest spiritual battle that you're going to face, I guess, in this coming days and in this next season. We talk about spiritual warfare. We talk about the enemy's scheme, but it's not just getting sick or getting discouraged. It's not the hardship or it's not the distress that you're going to face in this life. I can tell you, the enemy has one thing in mind. One thing against you. That is to derail you from living a life that is in alignment with God's will and purpose. And for you not to reach the maximum, full potential that God has endowed upon your life. That's the enemy's simple mission. That's the warfare that you're going to have to fight. So every time you settle for something that is not God's best for you, you're actually giving in to the enemy's plan. The enemy wants you to just settle for not the best, but just for good life or good enough. I know that a lot has happened in this past decade. And again, it's not just my life. You know, when I think about each one of you, there are so many things that actually has taken place in your personal journey with God. Some of those things were intentional. Others were incidental. It just happened. But I want you to really go back. And one of the things that I really want to encourage you to do is really go back and begin to journal. Begin to reflect on some of the things that happened. And today, again, as I said, this is not just the first Sunday of 2020. This marks the beginning of a new decade. How are we going to really launch into this new season? So I want to give you some practical way to prepare ourselves for this new decade. The vision that the Lord really gave me, I literally had this image of God wanting to pour. He was literally holding a new wine, a bag of new wine that is ready to pour out into our lives, into my life and into our church life. But one thing that God has been really speaking to me is that most people do not experience new wine that He wants to give to us. He wants to share it with us because we hold on to our old wineskin. We have that expression in the Bible. We use it all the time. New wine requires new wineskin. And yet, the reason why we are not experiencing significant breakthroughs in life, the reason why our life just pretty much stays the same and it sounds more like a hamster wheel just going around is because we try to hold on to our old wineskin. And so I want to just help you. And again, I gave you a handout as you came in. This is just my way of looking at my life, and it has really helped me. So you don't have to use what I gave you, but this is just an example. What I'm really encouraging you and challenging you with today is that you don't just do this here today. But I want you to, at least for a season, set apart some time. Now, I want you to really think about some of these things that I want to share with you. This is probably the most practical way to look at our lives. If God really wants to pour out new wine into our lives, there are things that need to change. So the first thing that I want you to really think about is, where is God really taking you in this next season? What is this, the new experiences, new breakthroughs, new changes, new assignments that God wants to give to you? You have to spend some time listening to Him, communing with Him, dialoguing with Him to really receive some of these assignments or vision that He has for you. It's just not going to happen because you just wait passively. So even today, I want to give you some time. I'll allow some time for you to just begin to jot down, but I hope and pray that this will not be the end of this exercise. Maybe it'll be a beginning. But I want you to just think about, just even for a moment right now, you really even believe that God has something new for you in this season. Where is He taking you? What is His design for your next 10 years? Because He's thinking about it. He has ordained certain things into your life. If there's some thoughts that come to your mind, I want you to jot it down. Begin to write down some of those things. It may just be an idea. It may just be a picture. It may just be a thought that's been brewing in your heart. What is this new wine that God wants to pour into your life? I'm going to get a little more practical as we move on. In order to really receive this new wine that God has for us, for some of us, it's like a deep change that needs to take place, maybe a new assignment in the season. There are certain things that need to die. I believe that this is why people don't change, because we hold on to this old wineskin that we're just comfortable. So I kind of broke down these, I guess, things that need to die into three areas. And again, I'm just pretty much sharing what God has been really doing in my own life. There are old habits that need to die. Things that we default to. Things that we run towards. Even our addictions. To fight for our boredom. Things that prevent us from really experiencing breakthroughs. What are some old habits that need to go? The last few months, I'm not sure if I should share this or not, because I haven't asked permission from my daughters. But in my household, I'm not going to name a particular individual, but my girls actually have been doing this dance. It's called a renegade dance. Do you know what they are? They do all these dance, like a short dance moves. And it's something that never happened in my family, but all the girls just began to do this weird dance moves. And I found out where these actually dance moves are actually spreading, and it's from the social media platform called TikTok. So I had no idea what TikTok was. I asked one of my daughters, Isabel. She said I could share this. I asked her, "What is TikTok?" The answer that I got was quite discouraging. This is what she said. Daddy, TikTok is way ahead of your generations. Basically what she was saying, that I know you're sometimes trying to connect with me and become relevant, but it's way out of your league. That's what she was pretty much telling me. But I learned that TikTok is just another social media platform where it's just like 1 minute video, lip singing, and all kinds of performance. It's a platform for young people to express their passion and their creativity. Now, I may be out of, I guess, touch with reality, but it's not just the young people. Everywhere I go nowadays, I see people just literally glued to their phone screen, computer screen. We were eating at different restaurants along the way, and we see families literally sitting with their father on one side, a mother on one side with the kids, and they're all looking at their own individual device. The younger ones are looking at TikTok. The older ones are looking at Facebook, constantly searching through. Now, the reason why I want to share this is I want you to think about how much time you waste in the things that's not going to bring about some deep changes in your life. Now, I'm not speaking against social media, but think about how much time we waste in the things that's not really going to produce anything in your walk with God, in your relationship with other people. What are some old habits that you default to that need to really be jettisoned? And I want you to think about what are some new habits that you need to develop in order to really embrace this new wine. The second thing that I want you to really think about is your desires. Again, this is really important. Our desires dictate what we do in this life. The choices that you make, where you spend your time. What is really fueling your passions? When people come into my office or they want to spend time with me, they help me to coach them and counsel them. One of the first questions that I ask, and I always say this, this is actually one of the most important questions that I can ask. The question is, what do you want? What do you really want? And then usually people say, oh, I want to love God more. I want to be more evangelistic. I want to be more missional. And then I have to stop them sometimes. And I say, I'm not just asking for the standard answer, Christian answer. What do you really want? What is your passion? Not the one that you share with other people, but what is the secret passion that is really brewing in your heart that decides everything, how you live your life? Some of us have a hard time even deciphering what our passions or what our desires are. I'll just give you a practical way to do that. Go back and again, just document your life. Look at your browser history, where you visit, where you spend your time. Go back and look at your Netflix account or the time that you spend on things that give you meaning or purpose. Go back to your bank account and look at where you spend your money. Some of these things will actually reveal what your passion, what your real desires are in life. So I want to challenge you today to think about some desires that really need to be changed. Old desires that need to die so that you can really embrace this new wine that God has for us. I really believe that we don't experience transformations because we just simply don't want transformations. We want everything to stay the same. The last thing that I want to challenge you with is really think about what you really believe, our old beliefs. Sometimes our past experiences, past wounds or unhealed wounds, past pain, unresolved relationships, these things really develop a very unhealthy set of lies or beliefs, ungodly beliefs about ourselves, about the world that we live in, or even about God. You These are more foundational. These are deeper issues of our souls. But what are some beliefs that you're holding on to? Maybe you think you're not going to amount to anything. Maybe you just feel like whatever you do, you're going to fail. You just better stay safe. Maybe you feel like you're not worthy. Maybe you have developed this idea that you're going to be betrayed or hurt by other people. In the last part, this may require a little more time for you, but again, take it home, pray, spend some time. But the question that I want to ask is, what will it take for you to really change your old habits and your desires and your old beliefs? And what will it take for you to really embrace all that God has for you in this next season? And this is where you're going to have to be very specific and be practical. Don't say just, I'm going to spend more time with God. What time? How much time? Another thing that I want to really challenge you with, you cannot do this on your own. I can guarantee you. Who will help me to get there? Who's going to hold me accountable? Who am I going to really share my struggles as I try to bring about these changes? Who's going to really help me to reach some of these goals so that I can prepare myself for all that God has? It could be one name. It could be a person. It could be a group of people. So I want you to spend some time really thinking about some practical details of your life. And the reason why I'm asking you to do this is part of designing your life. If you really believe that God has a purpose and a destiny for you, it's just, I can say this again, it's not just going to happen because God has it ordained over your life. You have to intentionally, by faith, take those steps towards where God is leading. He's never going to do that because that's not going to bring about any change in us. It's part of our sanctification. It's part of our discipleship. And we're going to spend some time praying, but I really felt that the best way to really end this and enter into this new decade is by partaking in this communion. I want to remind you once again, what we're about to do, the word that the Lord really gave me this morning is that, Ted, I want you to renew your covenant with me. And I feel like He's asking us to do the same. As a church, as a congregation, He's asking us to really renew our covenant with Him. Meaning that we're not just going to let life happen. We're not going to passively wait for God's blessing. We're not going to expect God to just make all the arrangements for us and make things happen for us. I really appreciate Nate for choosing very carefully and thoughtfully about some of the songs that we sang. And we're going to end our time with that last song that we sang, Take My Life. But we're really making a covenant with God once again that, Lord, as we enter into this new season, that I want to really start this decade with renewing my covenant with you. And that I'm going to live intentionally. I'm going to live with this mindfulness of what God has in store for me. And I'm going to make some significant changes in my priorities, my habits, my investment, and see what happens. May I invite elders and our MAs to come and help me distribute our communion elements. As you receive the bread and the cup, I want you to hold on to the elements. And if God is leading you to just continue to write, you can do that as well. You may have to multitask. Thank you.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power and
let's stand together. Let's sing the chorus. This represents the body of Christ that was broken and given to us for our sustenance. Let's break it. Let's eat it together. Jesus said, this cup, this is covenant with us. This is His shed blood that not only washes our sins, but it also gives us a new identity as the sons and daughters of God. As we drink this cup, let's renew our covenant with Him. Let's set ourselves apart. Let's drink it together. Father, as we enter into this new year and new decade, we consecrate ourselves as individuals and as Your body, Your family. We're here for You. Our lives are for Your glory. Take our lives, Lord. We'll use every minute, every hour, every day that You have given to us so that we can live to Your perfect and loving design, and that we'll live to the fullest of our potential that You have endowed upon us. So Lord, help us to realign our lives and steward the time and the resources that you have given to us well. Holy Spirit, we ask you to remind us each day and empower us to remember that we're just not here to allow life to just happen on us or for us. But give us the creativity. Give us the intelligence and the wisdom to craft and design our future according to your perfect plan. Give us the gift of your faithfulness, Lord, as we live each day, each moment for you. May this be the blessing upon your people. In Jesus' name, we pray.